This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more, and we do have music on the show for you, beginning with some Irish music from New York Irish fiddler Tony DeMarco, who is going to be performing in the Piper's Hut concert series tonight. It's a house concert with limited space, and I'll give you later on information on how to get into that limited space on the concert. So Tony will be on, and we'll hear from his new CD. Then in the later portion of the show, Roy Zimmerman, who gives a program of what he calls Real American Songs. He is a political satirical songwriter, and he is going to be performing at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in downtown Urbana. And he is with us live, and he'll be singing some of those songs on the program today. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. The final movement from a suite called Music for a Farce by American composer Paul Bowles, played by members of Chicago Pro Musica. My guest on Live and Local for this first part of the show is Tony DeMarco, who, in spite of his name and any assumptions you might make, because he is from New York, is a champion and practitioner of the Irish fiddle in a particular style, and he is actually going to be playing tonight in a house concert, part of the Piper's Hut concert series in Champaign, Urbana, hosted by Dean Karras. And the concert's tonight at 8 o'clock, and I'll give you at the end information on how you can get tickets. And he's also given a fiddling workshop at 6:30, because you have to know where this all is, which you have to get from Dean, since it's at his house. In any event, Tony's on the phone with me from New York, and thanks very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Sligo-style fiddling. What does that mean?
It's kind of particular in America to New York. Even in Chicago, there were a couple of players up there, and in various parts of the country, wherever there's, you know, a good Irish community that immigrated over. And most popular, I would say, in New York City, and around the New York metro area, the Bronx and Brooklyn and Queens and stuff. The fiddle players like Michael Coleman, James Morrison, Paddy Killoran, Martin Wynn, Lytle Byrne, Johnny Vesey, they were all great fiddle players that came over and recorded in the early part of the 1900s and sort of set the style in this area for Irish fiddle playing, mostly probably because they made those recordings and that made them, kind of celebrities. And they also did shows, and they did vaudeville and different, kind of Irish music shows and stuff. And they were very popular, due to their recordings getting around the world, going back to Ireland and stuff, and not just because they were recordings, but they were great players too. And that's sort of the lineage I have. Growing up in Brooklyn, I lived around the corner from fiddle players that, when they came over here, or some were born here, that learned from those fiddle players like Michael Coleman, James Morrison, and those fiddle players were Patty Reynolds and Andy McGann. Would probably have big influences in New York when I was, getting into it, which I picked up late. I was 17 when I started playing. But I lived around the corner from Patty Reynolds, met him in the park, Farragut Park in East Flatbush in Brooklyn, and that's why I put that picture on the album cover of me playing on a park bench, symbolic of how I met him. And that started me with going over his house and getting tunes on the tape recorder, and he'd put them down nice and easy for me, and that's how I learned, and that's how I teach now, just by ear. I just play by ear.
And the CD we're talking about is called The Sligo Indians. Is this your most recent?
Yes, it came out in May, around the end of April, May of 08, on the Folkways label, the Smithsonian Institute's recording label.
And Sligo refers to a county in Ireland.
Yes, it's in sort of the western part, a little more north, and that's where, like I said, a lot of those fiddle players came over to New York and settled in, and gave the New York style, like, kind of known for that Sligo style of fiddle playing.
Is it possible to describe how that style distinguishes itself from what would you call the other style or another style?
Well,
there's probably
there's
many.
A lot of other styles, yeah, in Ireland. For such a small country, you know, geographically, there's really quite a few styles over there going. Probably the West Coast is more famous for the styles, like from Donegal down to Cork and Kerry. You know, you have really a different style. I compare it a lot to almost the East Coast of America, where you have a lot of the immigration coming in. And if you go up to New England and you have, like, more of that French, Scottish influence, then you go down south, you know, it kind of changes and smooths out, and you get a different style. And it's similar in Ireland, up in the north and the mountains, up in Donegal and down to Leitrim and Sligo. It's very sort of snappy, hoppy, real danceable music, and has a lot of swing in it. And the more you get further south, like into Galway and Clare and Kerry and Cork, it smooths out a little bit, and it gets a little bit more sort of, I guess, more slurry, and has a little bit different pace to it. I mean, a little bit slower pace to the music. So that stylistic difference happens, you know, within probably every 100 miles or so, just over in Ireland. It's pretty amazing the different styles. And of course, they were more isolated years ago. You know, these days, you know, you have the highways that connect everything, and getting around is a lot easier. But in the older days, when you had those isolated areas, the styles stayed more, you know, pure for a longer period of time, I would say.
Well, and so unless you're a real connoisseur or practitioner, it's probably hard to distinguish anymore.
It's very, you know, that's always, you know, a complaint by the older players and older musicians. You know, they don't like that generic type of playing. You know, they kind of say the old styles are getting lost. But then there's a lot of young people with a kind of a purist, you know, and attitude and respect for the older styles, and they try to keep it, you know, authentic as well. So there's a lot of preservation, I would say, with folk music. Anybody that's into, like, traditional and folk music usually respects that and tries to keep stuff pure. But then, you know, with modern day, you know, technology, you have more access to different things, so you're going to get influenced by different things, and that's where the sort of fusion starts to happen with different types of music.
Well, let's give a listen to the title track from your CD. It's called The Sligo Indians. Did you tell me this is a composition of yours?
Yeah, this is a tune I wrote, and the story's in the CD with all the notes we just talked about. Basically, it's just a little funny story about a trip I was in Ireland with Cesar Pacifici, who was in the Flying Cloud with me at the time, a band I played with here in New York in the 70s. And we were in a little village in Gurcheen in South Sligo, and we were playing tunes in there. We were hippies with the long hair and all kinds of tie-dyed and suede vests with the fringe and, you know, that type of stuff. And so one of the guys came in to have a pint and saw us in the back room playing some tunes, and he ran back to PJ Hernan's house, and told him, he said, PJ, you got to get down to the pub. He said, there's two Indians playing Irish music in there. So that was how I got the name. I wrote the tune at a different time, then I put the name on it later. I thought it was a funny story to tell at the gigs.
And you've got it along here with a few other jigs as well.
Yeah, I did it slow with a little slower with Junior Davey on the bow run, and great bow run player from up around Sligo. And I learned tunes from his dad, Andy Davey, who passed away there a couple of years ago. And then I go into three other jigs, Patty Clancy's, one by Larry Redigan, and the Rambling Pitchfork is the last one.
And your guitarist?
Finno Lachlan. Worked on engineering the CD with me as well. He did the guitar work on those.
We're talking with Tony DeMarco, who is a fiddler on this set of jigs, including the title track of the CD from which it comes, the Sligo Indians. Tony's going to be playing tonight at on the Piper's Hut concert series. It's a house concert, and if you're interested in participating in the concert, it's just 25 people, limited. You'll want to contact Dean Karras, who runs the Piper's Hut concert series. You can reach him at pipers.hut@gmail.com, and he'll let you know if there's still space and how you can find his house. And you're listening to Tony DeMarco on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Tony DeMarco, the fiddler, Finn O'Loughlin, the guitarist, and Junior Davey on the Bowron, which is the Irish drum. Four jigs, the Sligo Indians, Patty Clancy's, Larry Redikins, and the Rambling Pitchfork from Tony DeMarco's CD called The Sligo Indians. And I like that story you told, you know, with you guys as the long-haired hippies, and somebody confused you for Indians. Which sort of gives a little idea of the history of your own discovery of this kind of music. You did it back in the early 70s.
Yeah.
But you also got in, but you came out of that from playing in guitar and garage bands.
Yes. My first guitar teacher was, I can't think of his last name, but it was a guy that played in the show Shindig. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but it was a show on TV, and he was a guitar player for the show, and he taught a bunch of kids in the neighborhood, you know, in East Flatbush. So we learned, you know, like Wipeout and cool, you know, tunes on the guitar like that. And I never really got, you know, great on it. Just had friends in the neighborhood that played, and we used to jam in people's garages in the back alleys, you know, and that's how the term, I guess, garage band came about, was we used to just play back in the garages and set up the drums and a few amplifiers and electric guitars and go at it. And I kind of did that until I got into sports, then I left it, and then my last year in high school picked up the fiddle for an extra credit to get to graduate high school. They gave me a choice of English history or music. So I took the music class. And the rest you can read in the notes. There's a good 36-page booklet in the CD, which, you know, everybody downloads stuff off of iTunes and the internet and stuff with the MP3s. But the big part of the CD, I kind of did it like an anthology and tried to cover a lot of territory. I went back to Ireland to record with guys that influenced me over there with the Sligo style, as well as, you know, players that influenced me in America as well. So I put a lot of time and work into it. And
yeah, this is a really incredible booklet. I mean, usually you, I think what you were probably getting at is that you get something from iTunes. You don't get the notes. usually.
Well, that's the thing. Most of your downloads on the internet, you know, you might get a picture of the CD cover, but this particular one is unique because it has 36 pages with great pictures of Martin Wynn and Andy McGann, you know, Patty Reynolds. Johnny Cronin was a great Kerry fiddle player that lived here and influenced a ton of kids in New York.
But mostly it's a great history lesson on not only your background, but also of Sligo-style fiddling and a lot about Irish music in general, for example.
Yeah, I think it covers the New York sort of time period of me being around playing, you know, from the 70s up until now. So I think it's pretty descriptive of that. And the Smithsonian, of course, you know, they kind of nurture that whole aspect of the music, which is cool.
Yeah, the whole history of it. I mean, they want people to know what it's all about. Once you got going, did you just chuck the guitar immediately, or were you mixing up different kind of styles? I know you were getting into some old-time American stuff.
Yeah, actually, you know, I had a friend in high school. My last year in high school was I had a couple of friends that got into like the whole country thing, and there was kind of there was a bit of a folk revival going on, you know, in the 60s and 70s. So we kind of jumped on that bandwagon and started learning country. And my friend Phil Linowski, he said, "Look, let's go take some lessons and we'll learn country and bluegrass." And he played guitar, so I had the fiddle, you know, from my violin class at high school, and we went off to Greenwich Village, to the Fretted Instrument School in New York, which I think is still there on 6th Avenue. And we took lessons, and I met Alan Kaufman, who was teaching the fiddle there from the Wretched Refuge String Band. And that was my introduction to fiddle music. And I learned, like, old-timey square dance stuff. The Wretched Refuge String Band with Richie Schulberg and Alan Kaufman on the fiddles were playing all around the colleges, Brooklyn College and NYU, Cooper Union, you know, so it was like a really good little scene there where, you know, I had a lot of good access to the music. And then the universities were bringing up players from the South, like Tommy Jarrell, Kyle Creed, Bill Monroe, you know, and they were having all these, you know, Appalachian and bluegrass musicians come in and do concerts at the universities. So we got exposed to that too, and that was a big help. Seeing, you know, the fiddle players like Kenny Baker, Tex Logan, Byron Berline, Vassar Clements, you know, and so on.
You're a walking history lesson yourself, and just all of the folks that you've worked with, know about, studied
yeah,
with.
It was right here, with, though, you know, which is kind of, people don't think of New York City as a little mecca for folk music, but it always was, you know. It always was a good spot that different things came into town, you know, and it still is.
Let's give a listen to another very different tune from the discs, the Sligo Indians. This is, it seems like Irish music tends to be certain types of dances, and then you have these wonderful slow airs. Mostly people associate Irish music, I think, most immediately with the faster tunes. But the airs are just gorgeous, and I think we're going to do one called The Blackbird.
Yes, it's a fairly familiar air. I have a little different treatment of it on the CD with a piper, Ivan Goff, that does the drones and the regulators, more or less accompanying the air instead of actually, you know, playing the note for note with me. So I treated the pipes as an accompanying instrument, which I thought was kind of nice to have, you know. Ivan's a great piper. He came over here with Riverdance when it was on Broadway, and so he's settled here in Brooklyn now, and we've been good friends playing a lot of music together. So that's the way this air is, with the pipes and the fiddle.
Ivan Goff on the pipes, accompanying fiddler Tony DeMarco in this tune from the 18th century, The Blackbird, from Tony's CD called The Sligo Indians. Tony DeMarco playing on the Piper's Hut Concert Series tonight at 8 o'clock. We'll give you more information later on about how you can get access to the concert. It's a house concert, and also, of course, tickets. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was a slow air called The Blackbird with fiddler Tony DeMarco and Ilan Piper Ivan Goff on Tony DeMarco's CD called The Sligo Indians. And he is going to be performing tonight at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. He's also giving a fiddling workshop starting at 6:30. There's more to that interview, by the way, and we won't have time to play it on the program. I will, however, put it up on our website. We'll have the program, the full program up there, usually by the afternoon of the show. The website is will.illinois.edu, and just go to the Live and Local page, and you'll find archives of all of our shows, or nearly all of them. And if you want to get into the workshop and or the concert, there is limited space for both, and you'll need to contact the host of the Piper's Hut Concert Series and of this concert. It's at his house, Dean Karras. Email him at pipers.hut@gmail.com. You can also go to their website, pipers-hut.com, and get information there as well on that and other upcoming concerts. Our program on FM 90.9 is made possible by World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Next on our program, we have a man who asks the question, or at least someone has asked the question, how do you fight recession, war, ignorance, greed, and the scourge of right-wing punditry? Why, with satire, of course. His name is Roy Zimmerman, and he does a program that he calls Real American. And he's going to, well, I knew he was going to be doing it tomorrow night, and he tells me he's doing some songs also tonight on the University of Illinois campus at 7 o'clock. The other show is tomorrow night at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana. That is at 8 o'clock, and Roy Zimmerman is with us in our studio to do some of those Real American songs. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Why Real American? What makes you a real American?
Well, you might remember during the 2008 campaign season, that became a big issue. What was a real American versus, who knows, a fake American of some kind? There was a divide that was drawn there by Sarah Palin and then her ilk. So I decided I would tour the country. I made a campaign promise to perform in all 50 states before the election.
And how are you doing so far?
Well, it's a campaign promise, so. I made 47 states before the election. I did darn well, I thought. And, you know, in an attempt to observe real Americans in their natural habitat.
And have you covered the other three since then?
I have not. No, you know, Hawaii was a bridge too far, and Alaska was a bridge to nowhere.
And the third one?
Well, New Mexico is a state, it turns out.
You know, Hawaii is just a nice little plane ride.
Yeah, well, that's
and
true.
It's a lovely place besides. You know, you might as well use it as a good excuse.
I have no excuse whatsoever. I got to work it in there.
Are you a driving tour guy, or are you a hop in the plane and go from place to place?
I'm a fly to a hub city, then rent a car and drive a huge loop and end up at that same hub city kind of guy.
The reason I ask that, we had Bill Staines on here a while ago, and I'm sure you know who he is.
Sure.
And he was also at the IMC, and he apparently drives everywhere.
Yeah.
And must love it. But, you know, I don't know how you touring folks deal with all that much driving.
There's a lot of real America between stops. That's true, you know.
Well, when you say you wanted to see real American, how real Americans are. I mean, how much are you? You must be doing a fair amount of observing in order to write satirical songs.
Sure. Yeah, it's been fascinating actually for me to go out, and you know, I come from the left coast in so many ways. I come from Marin County, California, the bluest county in the bluest state of the union. You know, right? So, it was interesting for me to get out to the red states, to the swing states, and meet some of the most progressive people in the least progressive places in the country, huddling in basements here and there.
And how much do you get exposed to people who are not so progressive?
A bit, certainly. I've played some of the shows I play are for general audiences, you know, and I do broach some opposition at times. People have made, I mean, the comment I get most often, which I really value, actually, is somebody to come up to me after the show and say, I disagree with everything you said, but I laughed anyway.
Well, that's when you know you're doing some real art.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that. Okay.
Well, let's get an idea right off the bat what you're about. So it's Roy Zimmerman, and I'll let you introduce the song if you even need to introduce it.
Well, maybe I do. It's a song that's been around for a while now, too, and there's now a court case in California that's testing whether our own Proposition 8, the opposition to same-sex marriage, that will stand the test of constitutionality. And this is a little song I wrote for the pro-Prop 8 people. Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, to people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who wanna get married. Every time we think about same-sex parents, oh my gosh, we exclaim. I mean, to people who want to provide a protective and nurturing family environment, have they no shame? It's so deviant. It's the Lord's holy word, as my second wife said to my third, that a family's based on obligation and fear. We're defenders of marriage, connubial narcs, ever vigilant and patriotic patriarchs. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who wanna get married. One summer evening when my woman was doing laundry, I shared a six-pack with an old John Bircher. And oh so wisely he imparted an ancient quandary to ponder. He said, it's nature versus legislature. Are people born gay or do they turn gay just to tick off Dick Armey? Defenders of marriage with a militant stance. Let's get the government out of our lives and into our pants. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married and have their insurance carried and be beneficiaried and be next to the ones they love when they are buried.
Roy Zimmerman on Live and Local, and you know, it comments on this. This is something I pulled off the IMC website, Independent Media Center website, and I imagine it came from you. I don't know where they pulled this from, but it comments that your many YouTube videos have garnered over 4 million views and tens of thousands of comments. And when I saw that you were going to be at the IMC, I thought, well, I got to find out what this guy's about before I agree to have him on the show. And there was. Your song, what is it called? Something about how difficult it is to be a liberal or something like that?
To Be a Liberal is the name of the song, but how, you know, do you know how hard it is to be a liberal? Yes.
And on there were a lot of comments, and quite a lot of them were from obvious conservatives, in which they were applauding you, you know, your attitudes towards liberal beliefs. And, you know, then these other guys are getting on saying, well, obviously these guys don't understand satire.
Yeah.
So you really could appeal to either side depending upon what anybody's thinking.
Well, depending on whether they're listening with one ear or both, you know. I think that's the thing about YouTube is you get people who select that one song and hone in on that one song. And I've read those comments, you know, and then it's usually followed right away by a comment from somebody else saying, he's kidding.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You know, right?
And
the debate rages.
Are you a fan of the Capitol Steps?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this, I mean, your songs remind me a lot about some of what they do. I've never seen them live, but just heard them on NPR, of course, that bastion of liberal journalism.
Yes.
Which.
Well, no one is more careful than NPR about balance.
Yeah.
You know, and that's I don't say that as a way of stoking their liberal fire or whatever. I just that they must be careful because NPR stations, public radio stations in general, are under fire to a great degree. There are people out there with the notepads waiting for a mistake to be made, you know, and that, you know, so it's more important in a sense for the quote liberal media to be balanced than it is for the right wing media to be balanced.
Well, and I know there was an independent study done some time ago about NPR News specifically to see, you know, how well balanced were they, and they actually found that. They tended to interview more people identified as conservatives in one way or another than identified as liberals.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is even more important to the present radio station, WYNL-FM, at the moment. You won't know this, Roy, but we, you know, had a bunch of changes just a week ago that included now putting the NPR signature news programs on this station, which was previously all music. And so that's there's probably plenty of people rankling over that, but also plenty of people who were going to reach with those news programs that we didn't on our AM station just by virtue of where the signal goes for AM.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So and then this program that you're on is right in the middle of the classical music day. So in itself, live and local is bucking all kinds of trends and has probably teed off a bunch of people who are diehard classical fans. But
well, this next song
was
brought to me by Shostakovich. You know, I'll try to appeal to the audience.
Yeah, you ever satire classical music in any way at all?
Let me think. Barack Obama has a funny name. Barack Obama has a funny name. His name's Barack Obama. That's right, Obama. Sounds like Osama. I'm just the 147 millionth person to have made that idiotic point. Anyway, it goes on. But
I heard that one. That's one of the ones that shows up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Do you put these up on YouTube yourself, I imagine?
I do, yeah. What a great tool YouTube is.
I mean, some people look at it the other way. You know, they're going to sue you if you put their song up on YouTube because, you know, they don't think of it as great PR.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, I write all my own songs, so there's that. I mean, my initial reaction to it was the same. Was like, why would I give my whole set away? You know, right? But it turns out to be a great tool, and people come to the shows to see me live because they've seen the things on YouTube, and they want to see if I'm more than 3 inches tall.
Do you get? You're up taller than I thought you would be, by the way.
See?
Neither here nor there. Yeah, visual media can have the effect of making somebody seem taller than it turns out to be. Tom Cruise, for an example, or any of a number of classical conductors who tend to be very short people, like Leonard Bernstein and Arturo Toscanini, or the other way around.
Right.
But that's neither here nor there. And I just forgot what I was going to ask you about. Oh, at your shows, do you get hecklers at your shows, or you pretty much just get people who are already fans or already in the right cause?
In general, if you're going to go see a satire show, you know, you kind of know that it's going to have a little bit of a lefty bent to it, I think, right? You know, so you know, I would think, right? I mean, we used to have a name for right-wing satire. We called it cruelty. But I do play some open air kind of you know, general audience things, and I've had some comments, and you know, I did a show in Arlington, Texas, where a guy came right up on stage with me, yanked the cord out of my guitar, and said, "This is over."
And then what?
Well, fortunately, there was like a college kid, big strapping college kid in the front row, who just jumped up and took the guy right to the back wall before I could even subdue him with cleverness.
Which wouldn't have worked anyway.
Well, I was ready.
In all likelihood. Well, that's the point. Well, what are you ready with next?
Let's do a song about the financial crisis and so forth, right? Because I was watching these AIG people and the Goldman Sachs people and so forth testifying in front of Congress with that sort of, you know, my dog ate my bailout look on their face. I was struck instantly with a metaphor, which is a thing that happens to me. Oh, we sailed the roiling ocean and we took her at full speed. Who could have known an iceberg would so rudely intercede? Here's a toast to present company, the people of refinement and renown. On the end of the ship that's rising while the other end goes down.
Yes, we charted out this course that left us broken on the ice. But there's no need to thank us. A hefty bonus will suffice. And we'll sit and chat about how we'll redecorate our offices in town. On the end of the ship that's rising while the other end goes down. Oh, and where the hell's that cabin boy? My shoes could use a shine. The silver's not been polished and it's nearly time to dine. In the waves so far below, the bobbing heads look like the jewels in Neptune's crown. On the end of the ship that's rising while the other end goes down. And we're upwardly mobile while others go below. There's a chilly breeze arising while we make our way up top and steal our courage for another dangerous photo op. And we'll laugh and laugh and laugh, but when the cameras roll, we'll don a solemn frown. On the end of the ship that's rising while the other end goes down. And we're upwardly mobile, no one we know below, below, below. Do I hear some faint complaining, somewhat muffled by the tide? Do they say we're out of options? Well, there's always suicide. There's a joke we tell among us where we call our economics trickle-drown. Must have been my delivery. On the end of the ship that's rising, and we're upwardly mobile until we go.
It's got that hard ending that DJs love so much.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Instead of the fade out, right? So how are your investments doing?
Well, I'm invested in these songs, so they're doing
doing pretty well. That was fun. You're listening to Roy Zimmerman here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more in this case. Support for our show comes in part from the Illinois Chamber Orchestra presenting Got the World on a String, featuring harpist Julia Jameson this weekend with the music of Debussy, Rossini, and more. Friday at St. Agnes Church in Springfield and Saturday at the Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington. Performances are at 7:30 p.m. Information is at ilsymphony.org. And you can hear Roy Zimmerman twice this weekend, tonight at Allen Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. And that is at 7 o'clock
tonight, yeah.
And then tomorrow night in downtown Urbana at the Independent Media Center in the old post office building, which is a great place to see a show, by the way.
Oh, I've played there a couple times before.
Have you?
I love that spot, yeah.
Where were you there most recently?
About a year and a half ago, something like that. Just before the election, actually, I was there.
I'm trying to remember how long they've even been around. It's not really all that long.
Uh-huh.
It was just a plain old post office building.
Yeah.
And that was quite a big deal when they bought the place. I still don't know how they paid for it because they can't have a whole lot of money over there.
Nah.
But maybe, you know, the post office is still there, so, you know, maybe they're sharing things. But in any
event,
they're
being subsidized. It's a grand socialist scheme, like the post office itself.
Yeah, with the Radio Free Urbana there that has about 2 watts, can't go terribly far. How did you get into this satire thing, and what's your musical background?
I have a degree in musical composition.
They're going to say you had a degree in musical comedy.
Well, you know, I have 1 foot in that world too, of course, all the way along. So, you know, I made a kind of a personal study of the American musical theater and, you know, Sondheim and going back to Cole Porter and all those great composers and lyricists. Because there is a long tradition of American satire in that realm, you know,
sure.
You know, and it's been largely forgotten in the popular music realm, unfortunately. And then later I began listening to Tom Lehrer and some of your listeners will remember, and Phil Oakes and some of the folkier people who were doing satirical songs too. So I got into it in high school when I started playing guitar and writing songs. I was instantly writing topical songs about whatever was happening at the time. I got a great song about the day that Mrs. Hemphill's wig blew off, for instance, and, you know, songs that people don't necessarily want to hear anymore.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Should I know who Mrs. Hemphill is?
Yeah, no, that was my history teacher.
Yeah, I figured it was something like
right.
that.
Yeah.
And did you grow up in a liberal household?
I did not.
So how do your parents, if they're still around, think about what you're doing?
Well, it was an interesting rite of passage, I guess, for me to come to the knowledge of what I really do naturally, you know, and to as my songs began to be more and more political and less just about topical issues, but more about politics per se. It began an interesting debate in the household. I remember being inspired by the Yippies in late '60s and '68 when watching them at the Chicago convention and so forth, and being fascinated with somebody who could express so well and so humorously such a strident point of view.
Well, humor is probably one of the ways to get strident points of view across the most gently.
Yes, it can be. Yeah.
And as we mentioned earlier, you can get it by a lot of people who don't realize you're being funny.
they just
think you're on their side.
I like to think that those people go home and then like 2 days later go, wait a second.
Yeah. When you were doing music composition, were you doing serious classical type composition?
Some of that. And I concentrated also on musical theater and wrote, you know, some operetta, you know, I guess you'd call it that, and musical theater.
Were you? Have you always been a guitarist, or were you doing other instruments as well?
Guitar's been the main thing, but I play enough piano to get that degree, and banjo and some other instruments as well.
Were you studying singing? You certainly have a nice voice.
Well, thank you. I did. You know, I studied a bit of that then too, sang with the choirs and so forth.
And how much of that compositional background do you figure you make use of today?
A lot, definitely. Because even if it's just a goofy pop song kind of style that I'm writing in, I am analyzing it from a musical point of view. You know, I'm always looking for the musical style, for instance, that best suits the subject matter. And so if it's a song about abstinence only, for instance, I've got a song about abstinence only sex education. So I do that as sort of an Al Green, you know, a Motown-y kind of sounding song, right? You know, that's some of the fun of it there.
And what do you have for us next? And maybe talk a little bit about why this particular style for this particular song.
Okay, I'll do a song. This is maybe my big YouTube hit, I suppose you'd say. It's made the front. This song called Creation Science 101 made the front page of YouTube, and which I don't know how that happens. It's got something to do with intelligent design.
Yeah.
So there it was on the front page, and now it's got like, you know, almost a million hits all by itself, right? And it's a song about creationism and teaching that in the public schools. And so I thought kind of a gospel-y sort of a style would work well for that song then too.
God made the world in 7 days. Well, that's 1 week to be specific. Now that's what I call scientific. Say hallelujah, sing his praise, 4042 B.C. On Monday, August 27, he made the earth and sky and heaven. Then he punched out at 503, then he made Adam and then Eve. A garden for them to inhabit. The apple right where Eve could grab it. And I got proof, cause I believe creation science 101. In the beginning it begun, and you are just beginning to educate yourself when you shun evolution. Then Cain and Abel he begat, and they begat all of the rest to us, which means they must have been incestuous. I'm gonna have to pray about that. There might be sinners in this class who might believe in Charles Darwin. I guess that's just their loss in Arwin. Because I'm gonna flunk their ass if you make Genesis your text. You'll laugh at Darwin and what he sees to be the origin of species. because he's just plain oversexed. Creation Science 101. Now, Armageddon, your homework done. Because when this semester's through, it's straight A's for students who shun evolution. The kids get such an education when they shun. The heretical theory of the development of life on Earth over millions of years by means of spontaneous genetic mutation.
Talking about musical background and composition, you got to have some pretty good rhythm to get those rhythms, to get those lyrics in there, like that last little bit of
That's one I definitely had to like learn to play after I'd written it. You know, I wrote the guitar part, I wrote the other part. I had to learn to play and sing that at the same time. You know, by really drilling it.
Well, there were, you know, we had a fiddler. Well, she's a violinist, a classical violinist, Rachel Barton Pine, who writes some of her own arrangements of things. And she wrote some extremely hard ones. And then, you know, she sort of like what you just said, she wrote some that she thought, oh, what did I do that for? Now I actually have to practice the thing.
Right.
So Roy Zimmerman here on Live and Local, he's going to be performing twice this weekend, tonight at at Allen Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. Is it technically in Urbana? I think so. At 7 o'clock, and is that in their lounge? As far as you know,
it's the main lounge. Yes, of Allen Hall.
Yeah, and then tomorrow night in downtown Urbana at the Independent Media Center. For more information on IMC shows, you can go to their website ucimc.org. They have quite a few shows of quite a good variety. And what's your website, Roy?
It's royzimmerman.com.
And you can look up Roy Zimmerman on YouTube and see what he looks like and everything. And usually wear the white shirt on those things.
That's my costume, or it's my, the white shirt and the tie. I want to look as much like, you know.
Like a business person.
A business person, your insurance salesman, a candidate, a preacher perhaps, some kind of figure of authority so that I can, then the reveal happens over the course of the show where you realize that I'm just a wag.
And here he is in a striped, very attractive striped shirt of some sort of coloration there. Why don't we let you go out with another song?
Okay, good. Excellent. Thank you. Well, beforehand, I'll just say thank you so much for having me on here. And I'll do a little song about real America.
There's a place called Real America. I heard about it from a rich politician. It magically appears, especially in election years. Life is good in real America. It's like living with 1,000 Sarah Palins. You stroll Main Street hand in hand and take a ride to fantasy land. Let's go to real America. Happy Meal America, where we can be proud, we don't talk well. Meet me in real America, U.S. Steel America, at the corner of Norman and Rockwell. Things are real in real America. And up is down and Joe the plumber is a genius. They've got just 2 stoplights, and no one steals and no one fights for civil rights. Let's go to real America, Oldsmobile America. Shove the kids in the backseat and bring them along to real America. Good housekeeping, seal America, all done up in denim and gingham. Know who they got there, but I can tell you who's not there.
Ain't none of them Ivy League elites, not a one of them San Francisco treats. Ain't none of them wine and tofu snobs, not a one of them Daily Show whack jobs. Ain't none of them friggin' Francophiles, not a one of them New York non-Gentiles. I believe in real America, so I vote against my economic interest. Let's go to real America, deal or no deal America. I can't tell you how happy I'd be if I'd get to go to real America, spin the big wheel America, where Ronald Reagan is deified. In real America. Real America. Well, duh. Real America, where no one uses profanity, 'cause they're so full of Sean Hannity.
Way to strike fear in the heart of a radio guy with the last.
Had you going there?
Oh, you promised me everything would be clean, and you were just right. Roy Zimmerman here on Live and Local. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for having me on.
Pleasure to have you. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly.